24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody, come on in. 866-660-5759. Among our hot topics, what the heck is the deal with Mike? So Bled says, aren't they just under the weather? Everybody getting lots of the messaging there on the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. Get well, Mike. Get well, Mike. As I said, some of it bitterness at being denied the M&M experience. Come on, Mike, you wussy. And the other kind of an interesting diagnosis there on the text line, that every time Mike makes some burst of travel, he gets a bug. Goes to Israel, gets a bug. Goes to Japan, gets a bug. Comes here for his kid's master's graduation, gets a bug. And I, totally kidding, said, does Mike need to be, you know, masked up on these travels? And our good friend Carlotta in Garland says, please don't advise Mike to wear a mask. The only things those are good for is to easily identify overly fearful Democrats and anti-Semitic college students. Yes, for the win. Okay, my observation about political advertising, because, boy, that's hard to miss, and it's only going to get thicker in the mist as we move forward. The runoffs are 2 weeks from today. Early voting starts on Monday, goes through Friday of next week, and then we finally get all these questions answered. And I've said, the observation I make that I made last week and at the beginning of this week is that one phenomenon you're going to see is a lot of the folks who voted to impeach Paxton and are absolutely fine with Dade Phelan and his elevation of Democrats to committee chairs are going to be spending a lot of advertising time telling you how conservative they are on issue A, issue B, issue C. And by the way, they may well be. As I've said, all of the Ken Paxton impeachment monkeys, all of them, have things they can point to. Say, well, I did this for you. I gave you the heartbeat bill. Well, look here. I gave you some property tax relief. Well, look here. Look here. Look over here. Don't pay attention to this. Look over here. Almost all of them who have challengers, the challengers are more conservative and would not have voted to impeach Paxton and are not okay with Dade Phelan's fiefdom with Democrat chairs. So, but I also said that they are very establishment friendly and thus have a lot of money. Some of the money from Dade himself. Dade has a big war chest that he is using to elevate his protectors, which he has the right to do. Interestingly, there is a legislative move afoot that would limit a speaker's ability to raise money and farm that money out. And it's kind of funny. I'm a big believer that political spending is free speech. And I'm a big believer in full disclosure. We may soon have a Speaker of the House that I actually like. And if that speaker wants to spend a bunch of money supporting folks he agrees with, I'm prepared to be okay with that. So, you know, but with regard to some of the spending, you're getting a lot of establishment dollars supporting a lot of establishment friendly candidates. But now, as the runoff gets closer by the day, the pendulum is starting to swing. And so right there, bam, bam, in a row was – and it's funny because these are not campaign – these are groups. Groups spending money to knock out people they want knocked out. And there was an ad running against Dwayne Burns and then an ad running against Justin Holland. Dwayne Burns in 58, Justin Holland in 33, where the challengers are Helen Kerwin and Katrina Pearson, but their names are not mentioned because they are not Helen Kerwin or Katrina Pearson campaign ads. They are groups that want Dwayne Burns and Justin Holland returned to private life. And in both cases, it was a little thing called the AFC Victory Fund. I said, who are these people? Because often when you'll see groups, they have to identify themselves. And sometimes they are wonderful and praiseworthy, and sometimes they are scalawags. yeah, scalawag. As with the people who tried to, who was that group? What was their fraudulent name? The people that tried to bash Brandon Gill for Congress in 26. That didn't work. That backfired deliciously. But this looks like a group of good people. This, the AFC Victory Fund, the AFC is an outfit that appears to be Dallas-based called the American Federation for Children. And they're a very big school choice outfit. And so what do Justin Holland and Dwayne Burns have in common? Not on board for school choice. So there you go there, which, by the way, just continuing to triangulate, did you catch Governor Abbott? And as conservatives, we're all feeling a lot better about Governor Abbott than we were, you know, maybe a couple of years ago. I mean, Governor Abbott has gone from being about 70% right on stuff to being about, you know, 90 or more percent right on stuff. It's been a really nice leaning into the conservatism, especially on borders and school choice for Governor Abbott. And so he's come out firmly against come out firmly for Stephanie Click, because Stephanie Click did vote for, and boy, Abbott is very voucher centric. If you were with him on vouchers, he will go to the mat for you. If you thwarted him on vouchers, he will come out and do what governors rarely do, and that's endorse your primary opponent. So we had some of that. So the reason why you're getting a lot of Abbott for Stephanie Click, even though Stephanie Click has a challenger in a runoff, who would not have voted for Paxton impeachment, et cetera, is because of the vote on vouchers. So the AFC Victory Pack is who is that? I always go looking. Okay, who are these people? And the answer is the American Federation for Children. And the issue driving them is school choice. All right. Well, let's pause then, because apparently we have a Trump campaign rally, and by that I mean he's walking into the courthouse. Was that true a couple of moments ago? Let's go ahead and let's grab the break. Come back, and on the other side of it, Trump on the way in for Michael Cohen Day 2. My, what will he have to say? We'll learn next. Beautiful Tuesday in progress. Another day in the Trump trial in progress. Woof. So I was getting ready to share some of what happened yesterday in the Michael Cohen Dog and Pony Show, and preview a little bit of what's likely today. But then, hey, moments ago, President Trump walks in, and this is just so – now it's like a prop, but it's very real. He's got a big, thick stack of papers with him at all times, which you might expect going into court, some type of legal document, some type of testimony. Oh, no, no, no. No, 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 no. It's the writings and the musings of people who have been analyzing – the trial. This is his genius method of circumventing the gag order. He is simply sharing what others have said about the trial. So moments ago, Trump in the lobby.
Speaking very beautifully, and they come all from all over Washington, and they're highly respected, and they think this is the greatest scam they've ever seen. And some are Democrats. They're very embarrassed about what's going on. I just want to start by saying that on the electric vehicles that Biden is pushing down everybody's throat, even though people don't want them. He wants to put a big tariff on China, which is a suggestion that I said, where have you been for 3.5 years? They should have done it a long time ago. But they've also got to do it on other vehicles, and they have to do it on a lot of other products, because China's eating our lunch right now. And they went away from what I was doing. They're eating our lunch, so they have to do it on much more than electric vehicles. And they have to get going fast, but it should have been done 3.5 years ago. I did it. I started. And then they started playing games, and it was very bad. Very bad for the auto industry. In Michigan, the auto industry is doing very poorly because jobs are starting to leave. We're losing, you know, with the electric vehicle mandate. They're going to be made in China. They're all going to be made in China and also in Mexico, owned by China. A poll just came out, the very respected Redfield Wilton, and it has us up 6 in Michigan, 7 in North Carolina, Pennsylvania +2, Georgia +5, Florida +9, Arizona +2, and up in every other place, 2. So that just came out. That's on top of yesterday's New York Times poll. I think today I might just quote somebody that frankly has been extremely respectful to me over the last period of a few months. He's watching this scam taking place. Michael Avenatti. Have you heard the name?
Would that be the Michael Avenatti who was Stormy Daniels' attorney, who is in prison right now for some of his own legal misdeeds? Yep. It's.
He said, the next time you're accused of something by someone, a co-worker, neighbor, friend, significant other, stranger, ask yourself if it would be okay if only they were allowed to speak, accuse, antagonize, while you were not allowed to respond. He's talking about the gag order. Or defend yourself in any way. If your answer is no, then you too should be angered by Trump not being allowed to respond to the various people that are making comments. Now think of it. You ask me questions, I'm not allowed to respond. They're the easiest questions I could possibly be asked. Only a guy like Biden couldn't answer those questions because he's not there. You ready? So here's a couple of quotes. Mark Levin, great man, great legal talent. This is not a trial of Donald Trump. It's a case of the Democrat Party versus America. It also represents the greatest effort to interfere with and steal a federal election in American political history. Biden is seeking to clear the field. He wants to clear the field because he can't do it himself. So he's weaponized the Department of Justice. And as you know, they have their people in that room. The DOJ is in that room because they want to try and hurt me. Now, the good news is my poll numbers have gone up significantly. This is not what they had in mind. Newt Gingrich, this is without precedent in American history. It has never occurred to President John Adams or anybody else that you could jail your primary competitor, your primary opponent, in his case, Vice President Thomas Jefferson. This goes back a long way. This has never happened in our country before. There's never been anything like this. Andy McCarthy just came out. New Yorkers should be outraged at the mockery Bragg is making of the state's legal system as the entire country looks on.
This is New York City moments ago. President Trump on his way into the court. Again, if these aren't, I'm dead serious. These are campaign rallies in the lobbies of the courthouse, knocking out home run after home run after home run. The hostile media culture forced to absorb and carry his every word.
The entire world is looking on. This is a very bad thing that's happening in New York. Businesses are leaving New York because of what happened here and what happened with another crooked judge, Engoron. Totally crooked, and he's under investigation right now, as he should be. He's under a big investigation, I hear, right now. Jonathan Turley, experts are shrugging, not sure what the crime is being alleged. Prosecutors have not explained why denoting this as a legal expense was wrong. So they say that the bookkeeping error. I paid a lawyer a certain amount of money. We marked it down as legal expense. So I had a legal expense, and I marked it down as a legal expense. I didn't mark it down as construction of a wall, construction of a building. I didn't mark it down as electricity costs. I took a legal expense, and they called it. I didn't do it. A bookkeeper did it. You did it exactly right. Took a legal expense and called it a legal expense. This is their whole case. Are you allowed to call a legal expense? I don't know what else you'd call it, actually. But he brings it up here, the legal expense. It was, you know, what's the problem? I never thought that as an attorney I could see a system like New York's, one of the most sophisticated legal bars in the world, really debase itself so badly. This judge should not be allowed on the case, and he should not allow this case to go forward.
Trump, he's not done. So let's hit the pause. Let's get Nikki get a word in edgewise here in the newsroom. And then Trump wraps up and we continue with these stories and various other things that haven't gotten to yet. 866-660-5759. Tuesday in progress. Nikki in the newsroom. I should probably play more of these guys. What's not to love? Especially in my line of work, for the Talking Heads. Especially on David Byrne's birthday. He is 72. Little Wild Wildlife from True Stories. All those Talking Heads albums, I own most of them, Speaking in Tongues, Little Creatures. David, that video for Once in a Lifetime, they're wacky, but they're wonderful. David Byrne is 72. All right, so quick word about the political heads, and then back to Trump, because we're listening to them, we're absorbing them. There are doctoral dissertations that can be written every political season about what political ads say and what they don't say. I mean, Stephanie Click, very heavy in the rotation today with the endorsement from Governor Abbott. That's something that's a good thing. That's something that you want. And I can see her proudly touting that, coming after David Lowe for the porn sites. Ouch. And he says, look, I just bought them in bulk, just trying to make a couple of bucks off of, you know, various domains without actually running them. I wasn't lording over their content or anything like that. Anytime folks run ads like that, it's like I want to talk about this more than I want to talk about my record or how the other person might have a record that might appeal more to you as a conservative. Moment ago was a Craig Goldman ad running for Congress against John O'Shea, and that's all about John O'Shea's supposedly spotty voting record, his own self in a lot of elections between like 2000 and 2018. Mr. O'Shea says, hey, they didn't note the apostrophe in my name. I was out of the country. My wife had an illness and blah, blah, blah. And like the records are wrong, which you can either believe or not. I don't know. And my advice to you has been and remains, ignore the sideshows. Study up how these people will vote. Now, obviously, if somebody just, you know, popped up out of the woodwork yesterday, I mean, Goldman's been around as a state legislator. Goldman has the Dan Patrick endorsement. So, I mean, Goldman's not a rhino squish. Is O'Shea more conservative than Goldman is? Yes. So what do you want? What do you want? It's all about what you want. We're going to find out what you want 2 weeks from tonight. That's the runoff, finally, after 3 long months, after March 5th. Okay, how many more weeks before this Trump trial, right? Can you, what is that? What is, are we going to get a verdict during the show? Please, Lord, let us get a verdict during the show. And what will that be? Well, that'll probably be around the end. Have we been at this for a better part of a month? They said it would take, is this moving? When trials are not going so very well for the prosecution, and this one is not, they tend to move through it a little more briskly, like, okay, we may not have as much on the vine as we thought we did, so maybe let's just kind of get going here. And then when the defense thinks it has some really good strong points to make, they probably tend to want to make them fairly quickly. So that, I think, speaks to a trial that may not last into June or much into June and may be done. Maybe everybody wants to get out of town for Memorial Day. That'd be sweet. What will that be like? What in the world will that be like? Anyway, we know what it was like this morning in the lobby. Here's the last couple of minutes of Donald Trump in the lobby, and he is sharing excerpts from what some legal analysts, not all of them conservative, have said about his tormentors.
Mershon should rule in favor of a directed verdict immediately.
Oh, a directed verdict is essentially where a judge says, "Look, this is so obvious. I'm ruling." And I don't know what juries think about that, but does it happen? Sometimes it does. More on that in a second.
There is an insufficient amount of evidence. No crime has been shown. No crime's been committed. There's been no crime. Judge Jeanine Biro, she talks here. This is, well, she's very excited here. He's a fool. He's not an experienced judge.
So, what is a directed verdict? I wanted to get like a really good definition because I can do it in layman's terms because, hey, I'm a layman. A directed verdict is a ruling entered by a trial judge after determining that there's simply no legally sufficient evidentiary basis for a reasonable jury to reach a different conclusion. Wow. Let's diagram that sentence. This is a pretty high bar. And is this judge going to meet it? I mean, there's the judge who whose head hits the pillow every night dreaming of the ability to convict Donald Trump. I don't know if Judge Mershon is the guy to deliver the directed verdict, but the directed verdict is when the judge rules that with everything he has seen, that it doesn't even deserve to go to the jury, that there is simply not a legally sufficient evidentiary basis, that the evidence has been so wanting, so lacking, so threadbare, so weak, that it's not even worth giving to the jury. The jury, and it's, does that sound a little obnoxious? Like, wait a minute, the jury's been sitting there. What, you know, what are they, chopped liver? You know, and the jury, I suppose, we sit there, we've been here for nothing. The legal basis for this is that the judge is kind of a funnel, a screen, a conduit. It goes to the jury through the judge. I mean, the jury gets instructions from a judge, et cetera, et cetera. And once that happens, the presumption is that the prosecution has made its case. The defense has made its case. And so the jury now figures out which side is better, who did their job better. But if a judge takes a look at the evidence that's been brought by the prosecution and just says, gosh, there is nothing here, I'm entering a directed verdict now. Okay, you can like that or not like that. I know we'd probably like that here rather than give it to this potentially biased jury. But we have an absolutely biased judge. So I don't think I'd look for the directed verdict from Judge Mershon.
So I'll make that one a little short. I don't want to insult anybody. Greg Jarrett, brilliant guy. Greg's argument is legally flawed. The Federal Election Commission, FEC, determined there was no campaign finance violation. The Department of Justice agreed. No civil fine was levied or criminal charge rendered. Those two entities have exclusive authority over federal elections. The state has absolutely no authority, and the city, Bragg, has no authority. And Bragg never wanted to bring this case, in all fairness to him. He never wanted to bring this case. Not a local prosecutor such as Alvin Bragg should be involved in this case. And by the way, the judge, as you know, is totally conflicted, and everybody's talking about it. It's an embarrassment to New York. Legal analyst Michael Moore of CNN doesn't think the prosecution has proven its case.
CNN.
Senator John Kennedy, respected gentleman, I will tell you that trial says more about politics than it does about an alleged crime. If you want to hide something from Bragg, you put it in the law book. Bringing in a fellow criminal trial.
If you want to hide something from Bragg, put it in a law book. Yes. Love me some Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana.
It hasn't proved to be a felony. There was no crime. Everybody's saying there's no crime. There is absolutely. But I've been here for almost 4 weeks in an icebox. I call it the icebox, listening to a judge who's totally corrupt and conflicted. Will Scharf, highly respected lawyer, hush money, it's not a crime. Signing an NDA is not a crime. By the way, Congress, everybody in Congress, they have NDAs. NDAs are very common, non-disclosure agreements. They're not a crime. Claimant, CBS Morning News, there's no evidence that this case is about campaign election violations. There's no evidence. But again, we go back to the federal law. The FEC, Federal Election Commission, said there's not a problem, there's no case. And Vivek, who's here right now, so he can speak for himself, he said this is a sham trial. It's politically motivated. It's an assault on the leading candidate for U.S. president.
And yes, you heard correctly. Vivek is here. He's bringing people. I don't know if he's just trying to create buzz or what, but there are folks who have been allowed. I mean, it says, hey, you know, why don't you come join me in the courtroom. We'll save you a seat. One of the earlier, one of them was Ken Paxton, giving it a little Texas flavor. Senator J.D. Vance was there yesterday. I had quite the Twitter stream on the ridiculousness that he witnessed. And today, Vivek. Does Paxton mean that Trump's going to make him U.S. Attorney General? Well, maybe. J.D. Vance being there indicative that he's on the VP list? Yes. Is Vivek being there evidence that he's on the VP list? Probably less likely. But Trump loves Vivek. What's not to love?
I would expect he would say something good, actually, so I won't go through the rest, but he's here. He's going to talk to you. The Speaker of the House is here. We have Byron Donalds. Thory is here.
Hello.
We have a lot of great people here to talk to you, and they won't let them speak here. I guess they want to make it difficult for them to speak. So for some reason, I can speak here, but I'm the only one that's allowed. The gag order has to come off. So when you ask me a question about the people that we're talking about, I'm not allowed to answer. There's never been anything like this in the history of our country. It's a scam. It's election interference at a level that's never taken place before. And now, if you don't mind, I'm going to go into the icebox and sit for a long time. Thank you very much.
Just tremendous. Just holding court before court. Just absolutely remarkable. And this has backfired in every way imaginable for Trump's tormentors. For the Biden campaign itself, they thought that Trump, shackled in a courtroom, unable to get out there across all of these swing states, would be horribly damaging. He is ahead in those swing states because people in those swing states see what the judicial swamp, what the Democrat dominated judicial swamp in New York is doing to him. They see it with their own eyes. All right, more in a moment. Little Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and almost cut my hair from Deja Vu. So it's almost Deja Vu all over again, as Yogi Berra once said. Every day in the courtroom, fresh evidence that this is all just a sham. I can say it. Trump can say it. Jonathan Turley, one of the best analysts in the business, saying, you know, because he was on Hannity last night, said, you know, silly me. I thought there had to be an actual demonstrable crime before they could, persecute and prosecute you like this.
Yeah, I was laboring under the same misconception that there had to be clarity as to what you're charged with so you could prepare a defense. There is still a debate, not just on this network, but on some other networks where experts are sort of shrugging that they're not quite sure what the crime being alleged here is. But on top of that, the prosecutors haven't really explained why denoting this as a legal expense was wrong. So we don't even have that explanation. I mean, what we've had from other witnesses is that payments that went to Michael Cohen as the lawyer tended to be recorded as a legal expense. And this was a large overall payment, including his fees, his time, his costs. And so one of those costs was the NDA, and they listed them all together. Now, you might want different terms, but I've never seen a case like this where you could claim that that denotation is enough for a felony against a defendant of this type.
Yeah. You know, maybe you can explain this to me, Professor, because I think this is really important. How is it that you have a misdemeanor, statute of limitations run out, a judge that donated to Biden, all this discussion about the judge's daughter may benefit from the outcome of the case? Every indication is, according to New York,
the judge's daughter is a Democrat activist, lobbyist, consultant, which, by the way, she has every right to do. But it creates just instant ethical nightmares when her dad is the judge in the Trump case.
New York law. And again, he was selected instead of him being chosen from a jury pool. How convenient in New York. Explain to me how it is even possible that all of this can be unfolding in one case. You don't even know the witnesses till the day before, and if you even know. You don't know what the charges are in this particular case. You have so many conflicts. You have a judge that should have recused. And it's like, wow, a prosecutor that, you know, promised to go after this guy. Can it get any more corrupt than this? Because I can't think of anything comparable that I've seen in my life.
I will let that question be rhetorical, because the answer is no. This is singular in its level of bottom feeding. All right, 9 o'clock hour to unfold next. Stay with us.